What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Thursday night. It's April 11th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. Season finale, I guess you can call it. I'm Taryn Lee, along with my co-host, Evan Webb. Webby, what's going on?
This is going to be our season-ending podcast no matter what, but I wish we could have ended on a little... A little happier note, but still incredible run.
Like I titled it, one game short.
Yep.
One game short. Still by far the most fun season I've had as a Purdue fan.
By far.
By far the most fun I think we've had as a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been our most successful year as a podcast. Shout out to everybody who's been loyal viewers and listeners, and our new followers on X and on Facebook. We've gained a lot of followers within the last week on Facebook and even on Instagram. So please, with that, like, subscribe, follow, hit that notification bell if you're on YouTube. At Boiler Break Pod is our handle on all social media podcasts or social media platforms. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, please give us a rating and review. And make sure you're following us and just subscribe to us on there as well. That really helps. And before we get into too many more things here, programming note, you might not see the big banter sports logo in our overlay. That's because we are no longer affiliated with Big Banter Sports. It was not our decision. It was a decision made by them. They kind of folded, and we found out on X, like the other Big Ten podcasts. We're in the portal, so no podcast network. We're not affiliated with any podcast network for at least the foreseeable future, which is all right. But
looking for to do NIL opportunities, so DMs are open at Boiler Break Pod.
We have a minimum, I do want to give a shout out to Autograph. We appreciated them helping sponsor the pod through March Madness. That was a fun partnership with them. Hopefully, we can do something with them in the future. Also want to give a shout out to our long standing sponsors and Mad Mushroom and the shop. We've enjoyed having them on the past handful of seasons.
Yeah. And shout out to Big Banter too. It was fun. And it was a short lived in our realm.
Yeah.
We came on basically during basketball. Like, we didn't even get a chance to chop it up during football season for the most part. So, yeah, it was fun. I mean, I got to be on Big Ten Huddle a few times. That was always fun just to kind of interact with some other Big Ten podcasters and learn more about teams that I don't really pay attention to. So it sounded like it was just a bit too much for them. So, you know, we understand that for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll keep chugging along.
Yep, we'll keep on keeping on for sure. But let's get right into it. Since we last did a pod, Purdue has played two games, played the Final Four game against NC State, and then the national championship game against Connecticut, UConn, whatever you want to call them. I guess.
Neither of us were there, unfortunately.
No, neither of us were there. Yeah.
Your parents were there, though.
My parents were there. A lot of my family was there. They had a great time. They said, you know, not the best of seats, but they could have definitely had worse. They could have had worse than they had.
Yeah.
But it was just being there for the experience. Seen Purdue fans everywhere. My dad got to meet up and catch up with five of his fraternity brothers he hadn't seen in years. Just different things like that. So, you know, that's what it looked like was the fun thing about being in Phoenix, was so many Boilers reconnecting with other Boilers or meeting new friends, new Boiler friends, things like that. It just looked like a big Boiler party for the most part. So, yeah, they don't have any regrets about going, even though the game Monday didn't turn out like we all had hoped. We got a few comments here on Facebook. Thad Mooney, a loyal viewer of the podcast, he was there for the national championship game on Monday. And then Cameron Day said, "I was there. Let me hop on to give a report." Well,
yeah, I was upset we couldn't go. I mean, it was just too much. But like, what I regretted the most was the not being able to be there. Just being around with everybody. Not even so necessarily the game, like being able to see the game, which had been cool, but like just seeing like former players and I saw so many people that, you know, went to school with that, you know, I kind of keep tabs on like in social media and stuff like that, who I saw that were there. So that was, it'd been cool to maybe run into them if possible, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was just bad timing for me.
Yeah.
to go with some stuff going on. And I kept telling myself next time, cause I do think there'll be a next time. Now, when will that next time be? I don't know. I hope it isn't 44 years from now, but, and, you know, I was thinking about this and I'll throw this to you. When Purdue makes it next, do you think, and maybe it matters on location of it, but which Phoenix is clear across the country. So maybe this is kind of dumb, but do you think Purdue will have the same following the next time they make a Final Four than they did this one?
I think so. I mean, maybe not quite as good. I mean, like it sounded, I mean, as Cameron said, it was 70-30 Purdue fans for both games, which is insane, which is awesome to hear. I mean, I think it hopefully showed a lot of people that, you know, Purdue fans are pretty loyal. I mean, I feel like you always hear a lot of other, Big Ten fans are loyal. And I think Purdue maybe gets the short end of the stick just because, you know, we're not a bandwagon team that people like, like we've always talked about, you know, it's very much a tight knit community. You know, if you're a Purdue fans, because you more than likely you went there or a family member went there, or you grew up in Lafayette and chose to follow this team. It's not like, I mean, obviously we've had good success in our, program's history, for all sports, but it's not like a Michigan or Indiana or Notre Dame or anything like that, where it's like, you've got people all across the country who are Purdue fans just because it's, there's a very good reason for it. Well, I think it makes it pretty special too. It's like, chances are when you meet a Purdue fan, you can probably talk to them about your time on campus and, what dorm you lived in, all that kind of stuff. But I'd still expect Purdue to have a really good following. I mean, like we showed out this year, between Maui and Toronto and, obviously it helped being in Indy and Detroit, but Purdue fans showed out all year long. Obviously helps when you have a really good team. But obviously if you make it to the Final Four, you're going to have a pretty good team. So I would not expect that to dip. Especially if it's somewhere closer, maybe to the Midwest. I mean, if it was an Indy or even just a easier location to get to, I think that's one thing I heard a lot about with Phoenix. It's like, it's not the easiest place to get to.
Flights are expensive no matter what.
Yeah, flights are expensive. If it's like a New Orleans or I'm trying to think where other big Final Fours they might have them.
Atlanta, San Antonio.
Yeah, like one of those. Like I feel like you'll still get a good contingent of Purdue fans because we love our Boilers and we'll travel.
Which I know it's in San Antonio next year, and Indianapolis has a regional, and I know it's in Indy in 2026. Let's see here. I'm looking up the future sites. Next year, San Antonio, Indy, 2026, Detroit, 2027.
Okay.
Las Vegas, 2028. That's a new one.
That'd be a fun one.
Indy again in 2029.
Oh, okay.
North Texas, aka Dallas, in 2030.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, all of those are, obviously Indy, Detroit are very easy to get to. Midwest and Vegas would be really cool. That could be a really cool one just from the So where they have, I assume they're going to have at the Raider Stadium, and they'd have to be.
Yeah, Allegiant. Yeah. Oh yeah, they'll never play in a non-football stadium again. Final Four.
What'd your parents say about the? And Cameron, you can chime in too since you're in here, which appreciate you being here. They talk about the noise, like how different it was, in terms of just the overall atmosphere. Like, did it get as loud as maybe they thought it would or not? I mean, obviously there were 70,000 people there, so you'd think it'd be pretty loud, but with it just being such a massive arena, was it getting lost in, just the open air, or what were they saying?
Paul S88 on YouTube said, despite watching for 44 years, I couldn't swing it this time. Next time I won't miss it. Just don't want nosebleed seats.
Yeah. That was kind of my dad's thing, was he didn't want to obviously to get there, you're in really crappy seats, and he didn't want that. We also didn't want to pay the money you would need to pay to get a decent seat.
That movie said it was truly Mackey Southwest at the game. Our fans were awesome, and seeing the love for Robbie in person by thousands of people was something to see. Make it San Antonio next year so I can drive 7 hours and not leave the state to get to the game. El Paso to San Antonio, 7 hours. All right. Cameron Day said the noise was weird for football stadium. We were behind the NC section and club level, and you could hear NC State fans well, but it was hard to hear Purdue fans across the stadium.
That's wild, considering just how many Purdue fans there were. I mean, it's I have seen a game in a football stadium. I saw Purdue IU at the RCA Dome back in
2003.
Yeah, we were far in the corner, and it was pretty IU Central. They were really good at that. You mean if it was either that their national championship year or runner up year or the year after? I don't remember a whole lot about that game other than just being a lot of crimson.
Yeah, I've seen two games. I went to, it was one of the Purdue's down years, but I went to, or actually it was it 03? No, it was 03 because it was, I saw two second round games. It was Notre Dame, Illinois, and Notre Dame beat Illinois. It was 04. It was the year before Illinois' championship run. Notre Dame beat Illinois to go to their first Sweet 16 in years. And then Marquette with a guy named Dwayne Wade beat Missouri. And they went on to the Final Four that year. And so that was RC Adam. Those are my only two experiences. But I don't
cool.
I was too young to remember how loud it got. I'd have been 12 or 13 at the time, I guess. So 11, 12, 13. I don't know what year it was. So but it's always interesting to watch basketball games in person or on TV when they're in football stadiums. And I was a little nervous about Purdue shooting going into it. And NC State shot it all right. Mm-hmm. Connecticut, not so much. But that was more to Connecticut's defense of just not letting us even get perimeter attempts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just blown away by that. I still am blown away by how they did that, really. And I honestly think they're the only team in the country that could have done that to Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, not getting too far ahead of the NC State game, but yeah, it's like they did what a lot of teams tried to do and failed it to do, and they executed it to a T. It just sucks that the 1 year Purdue is the clear cut second best team in the country, and in a tournament that is so fluky and so random that the 1 year Purdue made the national championship, we just had to face the far better team. Yep. But such is life.
Yeah, but it's kind of like not as in the fluky sense, but it's kind of like the Pacers. Diehard Pacer fans will tell you every time they've had a good team, they ran into prime Jordan or prime LeBron.
Yep. Yeah. Or they didn't make it. They played Kobe and Shaq.
Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
how are you feeling? I mean, obviously, leading up to the Final Four game, what was your
the NC State game?
Yeah.
I was confident. I wasn't too – I got nervous right before the game. That's me every game. I get nervous right before the game. I was confident, and then the game played out perfectly. I mean, we never were trailing. Had to lead the whole game, you know. Even when they would get it within single digits at times, I didn't feel too worried. Early in the game, I thought you could tell that Edie was locked in and Burns wasn't there for the moment.
Yeah.
It helped that we got a foul on him in midcourt early on when he fouled Braden. O'Connell kind of go down with a hamstring, which he's not their best player, but he was a good key piece of that team.
Yeah.
You knew Horn.
They didn't have a lot of depth, that's for sure.
No, you knew Horn was going to get his. But I thought, guys were stepping up, hitting some threes. Mason hit a couple. Lance had, poured in 14, 15 points. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. And I thought guys stepped up with Braden playing, at least for probably a point. His worst game of his career.
Yeah.
I felt good about that. I just thought going into it, I'm like, it's time for NC State's luck to run out.
Yeah. Kind of like we talked about like VCU in 2011. Like,
yep.
You can kind of tell. I know it was kind of reported on later, but like, I just felt like there's a whole DJ Burns interview where they asked him about Edie, and he kind of like, oh, he hadn't seen a score like me or something like that. But then he kind of walked it back. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about, my guy. I don't think you realize what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
Which he seems like an awesome guy. I think I saw that he said he made like $100,000 that weekend, which is awesome for him. Like between different NIL deals, which is so cool.
He also owns two vending machines.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
sports and funny. He didn't exactly say, but he said he can't eat his supply if you know what I mean.
That's funny. But not going to that game, it just felt so surreal. I was just so nervous. I was like, man, we made it this far. Like, can't lose. Like, if it was like a Houston or something, I'd be like, okay, no shame losing to Houston. But I was like, we're playing an 11 seed, which obviously the whole narrative of a double digit seed was there too. But I was like, I thought this team, I mean, they're a 10 seed for a reason. Obviously, they were hot. You know, maybe are they different now? But it's like, I don't know. I just felt like, Purdue should handle well, assuming no one went, stupid or on their mm-hmm. team, that no one went crazy. I thought Edie was going to be able to handle Burns no problem just because of conditioning standpoint. The fact that, Edie played 39 minutes and 27 seconds or whatever against Tennessee, I was like, he's not with these extended timeouts and extended halftime. I was like, he's not going to sit like if at all in these games. And he could tell he had
burns sucking air for pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And we never let the NC State crowd or the opposing fans rooting for NC State really get into it. That helped too. Cause that was the one thing I was nervous about. I was like,
yeah, that was longer,
the longer you let them hang around, the more problematic it could get. I was laughing here at Cameron Day's comment. Burns looked faster than Cam Allen, though.
He's got some moves. He's definitely got some moves.
He does have some moves. He did remind me a little bit of a Travion Williams, for sure.
He was a top 100 kid coming out of high school, I think, when he went to Tennessee.
Tennessee, and then he went to, Winthrop? Winthrop was conference player of the year there, and then, I'm ready to get out of these days where people can play at three different schools.
Yeah.
I guess in some scenarios we'll never get away from that, but I saw Cameron's comment earlier. I'll get to too. He said one topic I want to talk about: how does Heidi get better and improve, similar to an Ivy development from sophomore to freshman year, etc. We need him bad to step up more into his role.
And I think obviously where this team can take a big step next year, where we needed people to take a big step is, as we kind of saw in the UConn game, is like the wings for sure. And that includes Colvin and Heidi, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can do it. I think the big thing for them is obviously getting better defensively and being able to create their own shot. I think that's why you saw a lot of Colvin in the UConn game, is because when Purdue was couldn't get anything going with Fletcher and Braden and even Lance, like he put Colvin there just like, I mean, because Colvin's a guy who can elevate, he can kind of get his own shot. He just, again, couldn't, which I think is just a credit to UConn and how, I mean, you look at their first three guards, which is Newton, Castle, and Spencer, which I'm excited to never see again in my life. You know, it's like, I think they're like 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", something like that, around like, and in some way, and Purdue went, you know, Braden 6 foot, Lance 6'1", Fletcher 6'4", but he's, you know, 100, he's about your weight, Tanner. At least he looks like it.
Yeah.
So I think that's where like a big thing is obviously Fletcher getting a little bigger, which, you know, some of that you can't always help. I mean, I know I was listening to Robbie and Goodman and Hummel's podcast, and Robbie was saying that like Juwan Johnson was that way. Like he was, you know, bench pressing over 300 pounds, you know, deadlifting a ton, eating a ton, and just couldn't put on weight. Sometimes it is what it is, but
genetics.
Genetics. But I think with Colvin and Heidi specifically, just being able to defend really well on the perimeter, and then being able to create their own shot. Cause the athleticism is there, as we saw with Heidi's incredible dunk. And then what we've seen with Colvin already, but those guys, if they can just take care of the ball and be able to get to, you know, create their own shot, I think is going to be the biggest thing with this team. And obviously, you can add a guy like Cannon Catchings, who will be a freshman here, but obviously have a lot of expectation. But definitely an exciting thing to see. Hopefully, if he can create his own shot, he'll definitely be skilled enough to do it. Which whether or not he can do it at that level.
Yep. And while we're talking about improvement and everything, I was going to save this for transfer portal talk, but I'll bring it up here. Cameron earlier also asked, how could Ethan Morton go from 25 points per game in Pennsylvania Player of the Year and end up with 0.6 points per game as a senior? How did that happen? Frustrating with his development.
I think part of it goes to just the fact, I mean, with a lot of these guys, is they're obviously very clearly the best player on their team, unless they're playing at one of these, you know, Montverde Academies, Oak Hill, you know, Lalamere teams, where that you just got dude after dude after dude going, you know, high D1, whereas Morton, you know, was playing for his community high school team. He was obviously, you know, by far the best player. So, and I think watching his tape, like he would get to the rim a lot. He's 6'5", going up against guys who were, again, I mean, we played high school, you know, going up against guys that are your center foot sort of thing. Like,
right.
I think Pennsylvania's probably a little bit better. I know he was obviously higher class in Pennsylvania, but I think it just comes to opportunity. I think other guys just stepped up in other ways that were better than Morton, which is, you're going to have that in high D1 basketball. I mean, another thing is, look at, I mean, Caleb Furr was Indiana Mr. Basketball and just kind of obviously had a setback year this year, which obviously, you know, playing behind Edie and the minutes that Edie puts up is going to be tough. But I think like with Morton, I mean, I love Ethan Morton. He was one of my, obviously he didn't, I was excited when we got him. He was a guy that when we were recruiting him, I was really hoping we could get.
I thought he may be kind of like a Dakota Mathias, but obviously things didn't pan out that way. You know, whether it's, I think a lot of it had to do with just other guys around him stepping up more and doing things better and him just trying to find his role with what he could do. But yeah, it was unfortunate, but I'll definitely be cheering for him wherever he goes next.
Well, and if you remember, you know, his freshman year, he got mono.
Yeah.
Which that really set him back all year. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Got a nice comment here from Ted Berkey on YouTube. Thank you for all your covers this year. Next year is a bit of a mystery, but should be a lot of fun. Hey, you're welcome, Ted. We like doing this. We're Purdue fans, just like everybody who tunes in. We're Purdue fans who make this podcast for other Purdue fans. So we just like to get on here and shoot the breeze a little bit about Purdue basketball and football and have a good time with it. So
and next year's a mystery. I think that's what makes it. I'm really excited already for next year. I mean, really, after about 10 minutes after the game, I was like, gosh, wish next season was here already, just because, you know, obviously you're going to look a lot different. I think, you know, assuming nothing crazy with the portal happens, you know, you return three starters, three, you know, big time starters, guys who have played a lot of basketball. Then obviously you add a big freshman class and hopefully see some guys, you know, make that jump from freshman to sophomore year. But I think we'll see obviously a totally different offense than we would. I think we're going to see a totally different defense too, just because we don't have that tree standing in the
paint. No rim protector. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I will be excited, but I'm still a little in mourning. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched a lot of college basketball, or haven't listened to a lot of college basketball podcasts I normally do, or even watched anything on YouTube like I normally do, just because I didn't want to hear about the game.
I mean, it's all been, at least the ones I've listened to, which I try to listen. I don't really do the other, like what I would say, like this type of podcast where it's,
you know,
quote unquote non-experts. I love the CBS podcast with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. I was listening to that one today, and I even looked at Goodman Humble one. It was just, a lot of it's just like Purdue's really good. It's just UConn was just that much better, which is frustrating. I'm not sure if it had Purdue lost to Alabama. I'm not sure. I don't know if we'd be more mad. I feel like I probably would be more mad. So it was like, we beat them once already.
Yeah.
You know, cause I feel like, I think if Purdue plays any other team, Purdue's, we're talking about a national championship, which is crazy, but it's just, UConn was on the level. Which I was afraid of. Cause I think, you know, going into that game, which we can probably even get into this game. So it's the game.
might as well. Cause NC State, I mean, it was a pretty convincing win. And like, Cameron said up here, if Braden was scored more than 3 points and had two less turnovers, Purdue probably wins by 20 points.
Yeah. That was a blowout that, you know, wasn't really, I mean, it was a 13 point game or whatever it was, but it was kind of like, even in garbage time, we were getting up there to the 20 point victory. Midwest Toker says we still have a 7-2 guy. We do. And we're bringing in a 7-3 kid. So
just build a little differently.
Yeah. Just not an int for all.
And even Riley's what, 6'10"?
Yeah, I mean, which is first to 6'10", like, Trace or TKR is about 6'10". It's like, short for these rosters. Going into that game, I was like, obviously, again, it was probably, that was the most surreal thing. It was just like knowing that like our team was playing for a national championship, which I thought.
Longest, you know, day ever.
Yeah, it was longest day. I wasn't sure if it was ever going to, like, that day was ever going to come, as a fan in general. And knowing that, hey, like, you know, we've talked about in the past, you know, teams being good enough to potentially win national championship. It's like, hey, like, we are one of two teams is going to win tonight. And one of them is Purdue. And that was really crazy to think about. And I remember just like, it was just so cool to, you know, as a person who's watched every championship that I can, since I can remember, you know, I always love like the intro stuff. They always do like the little fans. The fact that like, I got to see Purdue do that was like, it was so cool, to see that, and see Purdue on the spotlight. In the back, I was like, I kept going back and forth. For work on Monday, I was in a meeting and they were asking me how I was feeling. I was like, I waver like confidence levels from like one time. At one point, I'm a 7 that Purdue's gonna win, and sometimes I'm a 3. And you know, it's been a waver all day. Cause I was like, you know, if Purdue can, you know, have their game, you know, there's definitely a chance they can do it. I thought Edie was gonna do a good job with Klingon, because I thought, you know, obviously, yes, Klingon was the, you know, Edie hadn't seen a guy like Klingon per se, and he's obviously, I think Edie had seen more 7-footers than Klingon would in the Big East. I was like, Klingon hasn't seen a guy like Edie. You know, Klingon doesn't play. I think he was averaging like 26 minutes a game. Edie, you know, we had seen the last couple games, had played, you know, damn near every minute. I was like, you know, if we can, when Klingon does go out, if we can get him in foul trouble, if he has to sit, like those are the minutes that are going to really, really matter for Purdue to do well. And you can't let Alex Caravan or Cam Spencer go off. And Carabine didn't play all that well, but Cam Spencer definitely did, unfortunately. Yes. Going into it, I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, I think Purdue could definitely win. But also, I was like, if you told me UConn won by 20, I also wouldn't be that surprised, unfortunately, going into it. Because I was just like, it's what they've done. They've got an absolute madman for a coach, but it works for them because they're just so well connected. And that was, if it wasn't Purdue, I would have been just like thoroughly impressed and enjoyed watching UConn play basketball because they're just so well connected and they just don't take a playoff ever, it seems like. But it was really pissing me off on Monday.
Yeah. No, I'm over them. Yeah. I mean, they unbelievable to go back to back. I mean, first team to do it since Florida, who was loaded with pros, but no, they're 6-0 in national championship games all time. And that's all since 1999. For men's. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say anything about their women's program. That's been a beast for years.
UConn as a school are 17-1 in national championship games because their women's team are 11-1, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, I guess you trade that for an absolutely atrocious football program. Who's at one time was looking about to drop down from D1, which they didn't, but I thought the Vegas line was outrageous at first.
Yeah,
you know, 6.5, 7.5, even as high as I saw it. I thought that was disrespectful. Made it mad about that. And all day I talked myself into Purdue winning. You know, we had the solar eclipse and all the coincidences, the signs, with the signs, with the dates and the years and all this. And then I thought, you know, I could just, maybe Purdue just hits everything tonight. Maybe it's a day they just hit everything, because I knew Zach was going to get his, but I just never imagined that they were going to shut down our perimeter attempts like they did. And some of that was our guys just didn't want to force things. That's not who they are. You put a Carson Edwards or Ryan Klein on this team, they're probably forcing a little more threes, and, you know, shooting some fadeaways and things like that. So kudos to UConn and their game plan. They followed it to a T. And really, when we were down 6.5, I felt pretty defeated. And my wife's like, what? You know, why are you – all down, we're only down 6. I'm like, it feels like we're down 20 because we can't stop them.
Yeah, I was going back and forth. I think I texted you guys. I think I texted our other friend group chat. I was going back and forth of like, okay, Purdue's down 6, and I felt like had played kind of bad. Outside of Zach, I was okay. So, you know, we're playing, you know, playing
the last 2 or 3 minutes weren't good in the first.
Yeah, last 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, obviously, I know Zach went out, and then Caleb came in and immediately got an and-1 foul on himself.
They went after him like they should.
Yeah, as they should have. It's a tough spot for him. Obviously, a guy who hasn't played a whole lot really the last half of the season. It's a tough spot for him to be in, but I understand trying to get Zach a breather. I don't remember what the lineup was before that. I was an absolute maniac during the game.
Me too.
But I was like, okay, we're down 6. We haven't played that well. Okay, that's got to be a good sign. But then I was like, I also felt like Purdue was barely hanging on at some point. I was like, we're down 6. We could be down 15 right now. Like, if like Brayton had a quite a few, like, where he just threw it up in a bank. Yeah. Like, I don't know how the hell those went in.
Even Lance's and-1 early in the game, he just threw it up when he got
fouled. Yeah, I was just like, man, without those, like, this could be over really quickly. Yeah. Obviously, like, and our buddy who's an Illinois fan, he's like, Illinois was down 5 at halftime against them. And I was like, oh crap, I kind of forgot about that before they went on their 30-0 run.
I knew we weren't going to let up a 30-0 run. You know, and UConn could do that, but also Illinois shot the ball so terribly during that 30-0 run. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, it was just so hard to, because I saw, like, you know, the texting family members and just seeing Twitter, it was like, we got to shoot more threes. I was like, I think everybody knows that. It's just the problem is, like, we can't. And it's not, you know, they completely, you know, they gambled and, you know, had maybe Purdue maybe come out, maybe hit some shots, you know, early, or maybe gotten clinging in foul trouble a little early. Like, would they would have to like double more the versus, you know, not, because essentially their game plan was play ED 1-on-1, let him get his, and then just shut down the perimeter. And they did that immaculate.
Something Michigan State can never do, even though they try.
Yeah, Michigan State couldn't do. Ohio State did. I mean, I guess that was probably the closest. Maybe it was like Ohio State did a little bit. I think, but Ohio State game, we definitely had a lot more turnovers than this game, because the turnovers weren't really an issue in this game. It was just like, I mean, and I saw it was a stat I heard on Gary Parrish's podcast. This game broke a streak. It was like Purdue had played over like 300 plus games where they attempted at least 8 threes.
Wow.
Game broke it. Purdue going 1-for-7. Obviously 14% is, you know, horrible for a team who was you know, second in the country behind Kentucky in 3-point percentage for the year. But I just, I get just all the credit goes to Connecticut because their defense was matched their coach and just, they were relentless and insane.
They were, bro, right when that clock struck zero, I tried to change the channel. I didn't stick around for the post game or the one shiny moment. I was over it. Nope. I just couldn't take it.
I watched it. I watched One Shining Moment because I was like, this is the one year that like Purdue's going to get, should get a lot of play, you know, obviously like going to the Final Four, seeing those moments, which was pretty cool. But I actually was not all that impressed with One Shining Moment. I felt like it was kind of lackluster this year.
I feel like it's getting that way every year.
A little bit. It came out Rutgers. Some of the Rutgers footage was like from the Big Ten tournament, which I was just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah. The Nebraska footage.
Nebraska. Yeah. So it's just like, I don't know, but it was, it was cool to see like again after last year and having to see the footage of FDU celebrating after beating Purdue, but hell of a run though. I guess like going into this year, I guess we can do some reflection, but like, was this year, like going into the year, were you like, this has to be a Final Four team to like, to erase kind of the stink of the 16 seed?
Yeah, I think, and I think we've talked about it, and you know, we know anything can happen in the tournament. It's so fluky, and throughout the seasons, all it takes is an injury, and really, Purdue was very fortunate on the injury front. I mean, Braden kind of injures himself two games in a row, and to be able to bounce back from that with nothing significant is pretty fortunate.
Same starting lineup the entire year, like no one got sick, you know, no one down with COVID, you know, for a couple weeks or whatever.
But no, I felt like this team had to at least get to the Final Four just to not only get over that hurdle for the program, just to kind of help erase the stink of all the upsets in the tournament the last few years. And it, this was just the nucleus and the roster to do it. And I think they knew that. I think that's why they had more pressure on them than anybody else in college basketball this whole year. And then I think really after that Tennessee game, you can see them kind of breathe and relax a little bit, kind of loosen up for the first time in a while. Even though I think they still learn to have fun and enjoy their time with each other and everything. Like, I think the coaching staff did a great job of keeping them a little loose during the season, but they never lost track of the end goal. No matter, you know, when they won the Big Ten, awesome. That's what we're supposed to do. Big Ten tournament, okay, you get eliminated, whatever. You know, every win in the NCAA tournament, clear up to the championship game, it's like, that's what we're supposed to do, even though they did enjoy making the Final Four. Right. But yeah, no, I think this team had to do what they did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Purdue beat Gonzaga, I go to the Elite Eight. I was like, okay, you know, you get to the Elite Eight, you know, you've made the run, you know, made a run, you know, we've got back to the Elite Eight, which we were here 5 years ago. And that's now Painter's second Elite Eight, which tied Katie, right? So like he's matched Katie in the Elite Eights now. Now it's just get to the next step. However, I was thinking like, you know, had we lost to Tennessee, like, would that have made, you know, obviously it would have sucked, obviously, but I was like, at least we got to where we've been before, but it was just like, yeah, obviously if you can get through, then that, I think, just opens up a whole lot. I think it validates, you know, Painter and his approach, saying that like, hey, his way can make it, you know, Purdue's approach of, you know, not just going out and just buying every portal shiny toy you can find, you know, kind of getting that homegrown talent, you know, again, like Zach being a guy who, you know, came in as an afterthought essentially and turned himself into 2-time national player of the year, which has now been official. And we've talked about it all year, but he is now official. He's 2-time national player of the year on all fronts.
And in my opinion, he's the best player to ever wear a Purdue jersey.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that as on our last podcast.
I think
the Final Four cements ED as the best Purdue player of all time. Just like from an individual standpoint of all the stats he's done, to, you know, he's won 2 big championships, he's won a Big Ten tournament championship, but now he's done the thing that you know, no Purdue player has done since Joe Barry Carroll, and that is make a Final Four and you take a step further and made a national championship game, which hasn't been done since Rick Mount. Who's scoring record he broke. So it's, yeah, I think that's
in four years.
Yeah. I think that cements him as the GOAT. And, you know, obviously kind of stands atop of, you know, Purdue Mount Rushmore along with some other incredible players. But yeah, it was just so cool to see like that, and to see him kind of, you know, have an incredible, individually, probably one of the best NCAA tournament runs as a player. I mean, He put up 40 in Tennessee. He put up 20 something in NC State, but then he put
20
up
12 ho hum.
Put up 37 in the national championship game. You know, double double. You know what? I think he broke the you break the record for most double doubles in the NCAA tournament, yeah, like, or in a career NCAA tournament games or something like that. Like, yeah, just obviously outside of, you know, falling one game short, he had probably one of the most incredible runs as a player can have in a tournament this year. And then, like, again, like, some of these games were just like, oh, okay, like, he didn't play, like, you know, in the first two games it was such a blowout, he'd have to play a whole lot. And NC State game, you know, Final Four game, he had a double double, and it was like, he didn't really play that all that well.
Yeah, I know. Yep. It's, and I, maybe he won't be, and maybe I'll eat crow on this, but I think he's gonna be a first round pick in the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think he's worked himself.
It's a pretty weak draft.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, like, I mean, you can't ignore what he's done. You know, like, obviously he's not a, you know, Klingon will be a lottery pick. He'll probably be the first big taken. You know, he's not a guy who's probably going to average 25, 30 minutes a game in the NBA, but he's a, you know, you can make a lot of money averaging 10 minutes a game and,
yeah,
you know, changing things up in a game for a little bit to, you know, make a team kind of have to readjust on the fly. And I mean, if you think about it, I mean, like, the three of the four Final Four teams all had big men. You know, it was kind of a, for like, all we've heard about is, you know, obviously you make kind of argument that UConn won with their guard play, which is, I would obviously argue that you were correct. But I mean, like, it was just cool to see that, you know, UConn and Purdue was, we were the two best teams all year long. We got to see the clash of the big men.
Yep. It was the matchup that most college basketball fans wanted to see, because it was the two teams that were, for the most part, you could throw Houston in there too, probably, but for the most part, were the two best teams throughout the season. So it just, Purdue ran into a buzzsaw, is what it is. But it's not any easier to swallow. It is what it is. And then in seven different Big Ten teams have faced the same result in the national championship game since 2000. So
has it been seven?
Seven.
So Indiana in 2002.
Yep.
Seen Michigan do it a couple of times. Michigan State did it in 06 to North Carolina.
09.
Oh, 09, sorry.
Yep.
Illinois
to
North Carolina. Illinois 05. Yep, Purdue. So that's five.
Ohio State to Florida.
Oh, that's right. Ohio State.
And Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, 2015. Yep. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know what it's gonna take for the Big Ten to get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny to see the kind of the parallels between the women's national championship and the men's national championship. Yeah. You know, obviously both featuring a Big Ten team with back-to-back national player of the year. Iowa had Clayton Clark, Purdue had Jack Edey, but I just felt like in both those games, the women's game, South Carolina just had overall size that just completely, I mean, they just dominated Iowa. Yeah,
they were the better team.
The rebounds, yeah. They're the better team. They had no answer. I think you could probably make the same argument for UConn. Yes. They had this, they bet a better overall size and
one rebound other, battle
and other positions. Yeah. They just needed more from the supporting cast for both teams, and unfortunately couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. Even on the women's side, the Big Ten has not had a national champion since Purdue 99. I mean, it's just wild. I mean, they've had teams get there, but they fall short. I don't know what's going to take. I mean, football, they've had teams get over the hump. Of course, Michigan this past year. But football's different, even though football landscape's going to look different, expanding the playoff to 12 teams and then 14 shortly after that. It's going to be totally different. Because that's another thing I was thinking. I'm like, I bet. Because I was like, I wonder what the turnout, if Purdue ever made the playoff for football. Then I got thinking, well, with 12 teams, though, you got to get clear to the semifinals now before it's neutral site, because it's going to be hosted on campuses till the semifinals. And I was like, well, you bet your ass if Purdue got to the semifinals of football, they would have this many people go, because that would just be stupid. It's probably never going to happen in our lifetime, but it'll just
be stupid. And everything the other day is like, so Purdue making a Final Four in basketball is obviously that we thought there were times where I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see this happen.
Right.
Obviously, like, Virginia and just, like, the flukiness of it. And just, like, you know, you got to win four games. And that's, you know, it's a tough four games.
Right.
But I was like, man, I was just the elation I had of, like, okay, Purdue finally got to a Final Four. You got that monkey off our back. I was like, man, what would be the equivalent of that in football? Because football is just obviously so much harder. I was like, would I feel this? What made me think of it is, like, if Purdue won the Big Ten, I think in football, I would probably feel that same way.
I agree, because that puts you in the playoff.
Right.
And that's a huge accomplishment with how the football landscape is right now.
Yeah. I was like, I think just winning the Big Ten, which President done since 01, 2000, I guess.
Especially with no divisions going forward.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be so hard. But, I mean, I want to say never say that. I mean, it would take lightning to bottle, just everything, the stars to line up. But football's a weird sport sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget the year Michigan State made the 4-team playoff, then got trounced by Alabama, but they made it. But now, of course, when the playoff extends to 14 teams, the Big Ten wants to get 4 teams in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you keep adding more teams, I mean, that's 4 out of 18.
Like, so, like, when that came out, I was like, 4 teams, that's not bad. Like, you know, it's a chance. And I was like,
oh, you look at the teams.
We just added Oregon, Washington, USC. See, Never mind.
I know. It's just so different. The fandom experience of Purdue football and basketball is so different. Because now with the way college sports are changing, basketball still found a formula, at least for right now, to be very, very good. Football, they're doing everything they can. It's just an uphill battle. And, like, that's why you kind of have to pull back your expectations, I think, for football to where, you know, we've always been happy with 7 or 8 wins, but especially now in the environment, if you can get 7 or 8 wins,
yeah,
especially with how hard the schedule is going to be year in and year out, it's pretty happy with that. But always hope for the best. But, you know, my body's ready for a break. This is where my sports fandom goes on break. I'm not a huge baseball fan like I used to be.
Yeah.
So I kind of go into a break until football season, which my body needs.
So did this run change your expectation for Purdue basketball moving forward in terms of like what year in and year out?
No, I still expect them to compete for a Big Ten championship every year and then make a run in the March Madness. That's never changed. Since Matt Painter got things going, besides a few years when we were in school. But I think now, though, the goal is to win that national championship.
Yep.
You've got over that Final Four hurdle. It's no more like, oh, got to get to the Final Four. It's go win the national championship. Because not only did you get to the Final Four, you got to the national championship. Fortunately, just came up a little short. So now it's go win the whole damn thing. And a lot easier said than done. We understand that. But that is the goal going forward.
Yeah, it's crazy too. I thought it was like this tournament run was Purdue's shortest winning streak all season long, 5 games.
That's wild.
Because every time they had a loss, which again only 5 losses all year, they prior to this tournament run, they had not had a winning streak less than 6 games. Because it was like after we lost to Wisconsin, big tournament, like, hey, are we haven't won less than 6 games? Like, hey, you know what? Yeah. Those 6 wins went equals in the tournament. That's the championship.
Yep.
But we just came up 1 short and 5. And it was still incredible. But I think competing again, like for the Big Ten tournament or Big Ten championship. And then I think like at, you know, minimum second weekend, you know, getting there to the Sweet 16, I think is kind of like my expectation kind of moving forward for sure.
I think other opposing fan bases are starting to view us like this. We run the Big Ten right now. I'm going to say that. I mean, we are what Michigan State used to be. At times, Wisconsin used to be at times, Ohio State at times. I'm not throwing Illinois in there because they haven't been consistent enough. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've either taken out the year that the NCAA tournament didn't happen. We've either won the Big Ten or we're right there in the top 3 every year. So, yeah, and it's saying something that ever since the double bye has been a thing in the Big Ten tournament, Purdue's got the double bye every single year. Kind of speaks for
minus 2020.
Minus 2020, yeah. Good. Because technically the Big Ten tournament was seeded.
It started. Yeah.
So, I mean, I still think, you know, teams going to look different next year. You know, we lost, of course, Zach Edey's going to the NBA, lost Ethan Morton to the graduation / transfer portal.
He was and Mason Gillis.
Mason Gillis, which that one hurt me a little more because he's one of my all-time favorite Boilers, and I hate seeing him in another uniform, but I totally get it. Like, I kind of thought he might just be done. He's already been in college 5 years, and his body's pretty beat up, I think, at times. But if you can go make money in NIL and enjoy playing college basketball one more year before you have to go to the workforce, go get your money, man. You gave everything you can to Purdue, and I'm sure if you could find a spot on the roster – you would, but it's just the numbers aren't there. And I think Brian Neuber put it perfectly in his basketball chat today. Sometimes Purdue's like, you know, I think they're a believer of other guys deserve their shot too.
Yep.
Guys who, you know, and like look at Trey Kaufman and Caleb First, you know, if Zach Edey wouldn't have come back this year, they're in totally different roles. than they were this year, you know, and not that he was coming back for a fifth year or even a super senior sixth year or anything like that. He was coming back just for his senior year. The COVID year stuff can't end soon enough. I'm over it with football and basketball. I'm over it. But I wish both those guys well, no matter where they go. I just hope it's not against anybody. I hope it's not to another conference team. I don't think they would do that.
I don't think they would. Yeah, it's not your typical transfer. It's like, you know, they're transferring to just to get out. It's like it was known.
Nothing personal.
Beginning of the year, of like, these guys are not going to use their COVID year at Purdue. At least that's how it was kind of described. Yeah. So it's like, you know. And I think I would almost put money on the fact that I guarantee Painter's helping them find the right situation. I think he did that with Brandon Newman last year. Yeah. I think he'll do it with these guys. He'll use his resources to figure out, you know, a good spot for them. Go get paid. You know, I think someone put it on the boards. Like, I think, I'm not sure if, you know, Mason makes a bad team good, but I think he makes a good team great. With his leadership, with his tenacity, you know, damn near 50% 3-point shooter this year, you know, on decent volume. You know, Ethan's a hell of a leader. I mean, the things you saw him do, like bringing along the young guys this year, was awesome. Sacrificing, you know, this dude was a starter on the number one team in the country last year at one point. You know, played on a Sweet 16 team his sophomore year with Ivy. Like, this dude has played a lot of basketball, and, you know, saw his role shrink significantly this year. But you never saw that. That's the crazy thing too, just in today's age of just like, you know, I always kind of wondered, like, with this team, I was like, you know, was something going to happen? Like, was there going to be a rift in the locker room or something? But like, there wasn't, which credit to probably Zach and the seniors to keep together. Cause it was very easy, like after a loss, like FDU, for guys to either just get the hell out of Dodge or, you know, point fingers or something, like, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, adversity brings out so many different things out of people. This team did such a good job of kind of, you know, taking it on the chin, you know, not running from it. And just kind of just turning it around and doing, you know, some unbelievable things this year. But yeah, it's going to suck to see those guys in another uniforms, but as long as it's not a team that I hate, I'll definitely be tuning in for them for sure.
Yep. It wouldn't surprise me, at least if one of them, if not both of them, land up at a spot where one of the former producers and coaches are coaching now.
If one of them went to like an Oklahoma State, I was like, would Painter try and get Oklahoma State to come to Mackey as like a, you know, like cool, like, you know, ovation for that player or something? I don't know. Like, would he try and do something like that? Like, obviously it's a Power Five opponent, so it'd be a good opponent and all that kind of stuff. But
one of them ends up in Notre Dame, there's a chance we play them in that little non-conference thing, which got a lot more interesting this week with John Calipari leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas. I think that's good for him. I think he needed to get out of Lexington. They both need to split, but now Kentucky's looking for a coach because they're getting turned down.
Yeah. And they're finding out they're not as desirable as they thought they were.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just saw some on TikTok, which, I mean, who knows if it's true, but the guy who was making the video had some sources. But supposedly there was something with Calipari where, like, there was some big booster who, like, wanted to run for, like, public office and wanted to use Oscar Tshiebwe back, like, when Tshiebwe played for Kentucky, as part of the campaign. And Calipari's like, no, like, you know, I'm not going to let you parade my player around like a pawn, like, you know. And the booster got really mad and cut off all funding to the university. And it's like, you know, I think that was part of, I mean, it sounded like Calipari was miserable down there. He's been there for 15 years. I cannot believe he's been there for 15 years. It seems, it seems longer or seems less than that, but
he won one title. He got the multiple, but he won one title. And I've always said, nobody does, less with more talent than John Calipari, just because, at least there. I mean, at Memphis and UMass, it was a little different. He did get things there. So we'll see. He's going to have the funding. He's going to do
the thing. He's got Walmart. He's got Tyson Foods behind him. That'll be interesting. And
Jerry Jones. Don't forget about Jerry Jones.
Oh, I forgot he's an Arkansas alum.
He was one of the ones along with Tyson. I don't think the Walmart people, the Waltons, they're more invested where they should be with the Denver Broncos. They got a draft coming up.
Yeah, they do. I forgot about Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Jerry Jones.
God.
Yeah.
Dude. This could be fun.
Yeah. I mean,
Musselman was a character. Now he's in the Big Ten of USC. I'm excited to see him and Mackey.
Danny Sprinkle at Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, Calipari, Arkansas. It was weird to see him in the Arkansas.
Oh yeah.
Pullover in his press conference. But yeah, it could be interesting. Yeah, Kentucky, they've, you know, obviously what they had every name, Scott Drew, Nate Oates, Danny Hurley, which supposedly I saw something like they offered Danny Hurley 8 years, $100 million or something like stupid like that. I think I should go after someone like Bruce Pearl. I think Bruce Pearl's crazy enough that he wants the spotlight in a school like that. Sounds like Mark Pope is kind of the guy they're kind of
their fans are gonna hate that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. He's like, he said that, I was like, who? But I was like, I know, BYU's coach. This is kind of what I was hoping the Michigan, Ohio State, Louisville coaching search would be like. So I was like, man, three massive names in college basketball. Like, you know, this could be, you know, crazy. And then like, it was the most boring coaching carousel. Like football is always wild.
Yes, it is.
Every year. And I was hoping the same thing for basketball, but it was pretty, pretty lame. But now this, now that thanks to Calipari, things have gotten a little spicy.
Yeah, because I kind of gave up on it getting spicy. I'm like, okay. And then big domino falls. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
Next one, honestly, got Diebler. I was like, I like Diebler. Like, it's solid. It could be interesting. Like, solid. But I was like, that's not what I want. I wanted something like crazy. I wanted like just massive dominoes to fall. But then, you know, the crazy thing is, this is all kind of started with, if crazy enough, SMU.
Yeah.
Fired their coach and got Andy Enfield from USC, who then got Muss from Arkansas, who then just got Calipari, and more.
Sometimes it starts with with a littler school than you think. So I still don't, and I know he didn't enjoy recruiting back then, but I still haven't heard Billy Donovan come out and just
he's gonna know yet. Bulls in a play-in game.
That is true. That is true. That is true. That playing stuff so stupid with the NBA, but the NBA does a lot of dumb things. But
because I heard that, because I was like, podcast talking about like with him is like apparently he hated recruiting back when he was at Florida. But it's like, you know, as we've kind of seen with NIL, it's like you can probably like coaches probably can recruit a little bit less than they do, because you can have boosters and assistants kind of take care of that. I kind of
mentioned this on my other podcast on Monday, like. You know, he was already with the Thunder.
Listen to you because I know you guys recorded before the game.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was.
I can't listen to your.
Don't do it. It was really weird because usually we do Mondays on purpose because not a lot of big sporting events happen on Mondays. Well, in this case, it did.
It was the biggest event in your life.
yeah, and I wanted to throw up while I was recording it. But I said, you know, he went with the Thunder and was and now with the Bulls, it's like if he gets fired from the Bulls, will he ever get an NBA job again? So he could see the writing on the wall and say, hey, I could go back to college and be with one of the big boys and kind of move up the coaching all-time ranks again. So I don't know. Well, Brad Stevens' name's not getting thrown around this time. So
no.
But anything else, Webby, before we do a few sponsor reads and close this out and take a little break from the pod?
I mean, shout out to Lance Jones.
Yes.
Probably my favorite transfer of all time. Not that Purdue's had a ton of them. Obviously, you know, Carl Landry comes to mind. Obviously, it's kind of before transfers were really a transfer thing. You know, John Oxes was kind of my number one guy for a while in the modern era, I guess, because of, you know, what he did for a year. But just what a guy. I mean, a guy who I'm going to miss so much. You know, he was only here for a year. Definitely, I felt like, as Brian Newer kind of put it, like, I think his personality also really helped this team. You know, he just plays with so much joy. That was probably my favorite thing to watch. It was like, I mean, he had it in the Elite Eight game of Tennessee when he hit that big three. Like, he was kind of running on the court, like, smiling as he was high-fiving. It's like, man, you see, like, this is, like, a massive, probably the biggest shot of your career. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm just having playing fun. With my boys. Yeah, I'm just having playing with my fun. Boys, which is so cool. You know, the Lance dance, like, that being a thing. You know, I mean, I think back to like when I went to the fan open scrimmage thing and saw him take a ball, you know, full court in like 2.5 seconds and almost get a game winning layup in one of the scrimmages. Like, oh, okay. I think this guy had that much pop to him. But he has some athleticism. You know, a guy that we kind of like, you know, he's not going to shoot a lot of threes because he shot so many at Southern Illinois. And lo and behold, he was a chucker, but. Never afraid of the moment. No matter how bad he shot, he always seemed to hit the big one, which is just so cool. And obviously everything he went through personally and with all that, but just, I mean, epitomizes being a Boilermaker. Love the kid. You know, I'm sure he'll have a nice pro career overseas for sure. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to see him hopefully back in Mackey and do the Lance Dance again on Jimbo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was another tough thing about Monday was just how much I like this team. I think every Purdue fan enjoyed watching this team. And like even going into the game Monday, I'm like, win or lose, this is the last time I get to see Zach.
Yeah, that was the last time I get to see
Mason Gillis in Purdue for me, you know?
Yeah, because that was the only time I really had it as a fan where it's like, this is the last game. It's like every other game, it's like, this could be the last game, but you know, may not be, but it's like, no matter what happens, whether we win by a million or lose by 8 million, like this is the last time. And like, I remember like watching the starting lineups, like when it was like Zach, I was like, I did the Zach Eady thing with, you know, with the crowd. Like, so I was like, this is literally the last time we're going to see, like, even like when he stood up, which I was really mad that he was second, but I guess it's not how we're going to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, he stood up and I was like, oh, this is the last time. Like, and it kind of hit me, but I was, that was really tough. Just like you said, just like these guys are so likable. And that was the thing that obviously losing sucks, but I was like, as every year, like with most teams and Painter's eras, like it sucks because this is, you know, I'm not going to have this team back ever again. Yeah. And they just, it was like you said, this is by far the most fun as a fan. You know, I've had some fun years, you know, Ivy's freshman year was fun because there was no expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, and like winning was like almost a surprise at times. And then, you know, last year was cool because it was a surprise because there was, you know, we weren't expecting anything. And then all of a sudden, holy crap, we're number one in the country. Zach Eady is the best player in college basketball. We did not see that coming. But this year, I wasn't sure how it was going to be because of obviously coming off last year and how miserable the end of that season was. And it was like, God, do I get expectation? Do I get my hopes up? Like, do I, you know, because like it could, you know, end very similarly or, you know, not too similarly or whatever it may be. But it was like, I don't know, we kind of talked about at the beginning of the year is like, just enjoy it one game at a time. Like, don't get, and I'm so glad I did that.
I'm glad you reminded me to do that.
Yeah, just like, it was, you know, every game of Mackey was fun. Watching this team was fun. Watching Zach down, it was fun. Watching Braden blossom into one of the best point guards in the country was so cool. You know, watching Lance Jones
emerge, I had somebody come back on me on Twitter on my Braden Smith is good at basketball emoji tweet. Uh-huh. I had a Ohio State fan trying to argue with me the other night.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm bringing it up now. His
response, was it like from a previous game, like a random game beforehand?
No. Oh. It was, let me go find it because I want to get word for word. It was, I said, Bray Smith, good basketball. Is he, though? He may be, but let's give him a year sans Eady and see what he can do. Tonight, however, he was thoroughly outplayed by a freshman.
A 5-star freshman. A freshman who's like 6 inches taller. It's like, okay. I mean, yes, like Braden's really good, but there's a reason he wasn't recruited by every, you know, blue blood in the country. Not all freshmen are equal as we know. But it's an idiotic take. I think next year could be really fun with Braden for it to be his team. He wants to get out and run. And I think my Cam Heidi, you know, even first, you know, like guys that are that athletic, Cannon Catchings, it can be a really, really fun and up, you know, up tempo offense potentially.
Absolutely.
And as we've seen, as Painter is not a, as much as people want to say Painter does make adjustments and he's stubborn, it's like he adjusts his offense to the best player. And I think you could argue, you know, Brady player going into next year, and I think he will gladly, you know, him and PJ will gladly craft an offense that makes Braden Smith flourish in the system.
Yep. It's and honestly I could see this being in like when we're ranked to start the year being maybe ranked a little like overrated, a little too high, because I think Purdue's earned that reputation all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So which is a good thing. I mean that's what Michigan State is every year. There's no way they should have been ranked fourth going into this year, whatever they were. But and we'll take it. We'll take it. It'll still be a fun year next year. We'll do a lot of winning. And we'll just let the chips fall where they may. But
Do you have a favorite moment outside of making the Final Four or a national championship game? Like moment that
83.
Yeah.
Gets IU. And just to see IU fans saying that, like, this is the rock bottom of my family. Just brought me so much joy. So much joy.
Yeah. That was so cool. Again, it's like going back to just how fun it was. Like,
yeah,
kind of like, I mean,
Purdue was up 20 or what, like 17 or whatever in that game. So it was like, it was a blowout. Like, but then the fact that he is one and only three all year, or just
he bakes it in, makes it even better that he banked it.
Yeah, missed it so bad he made it. Yeah, yeah, that was incredible. I think being Arizona game was so much fun. Just two high level teams going at it. Fun basketball game. I think too, just like the even like the first game of the season against Samford, again, like, you know, the there's this like the nerves like, okay, this is like, you know, what's this team going to be like this year coming off that loss? And then, like, you know, Samford, like, this is the prototypical 16 type seed. And just like, I think like the first play, like, was a Fletcher three in the corner, and just like boom, was like off to the races. Like, okay, this team is, I mean, yes, it's Samford. Yes, it's the first game of the season, but I was like, it felt really different in that moment. Mm-hmm. It was like, just to kind of see like an NPB to my 50.
Yeah.
Was really, really cool. And the first free throws of the year were for the opposing team, resulted in Slim Chickens for the fans. Yeah. Shout out to Slim Chickens, man.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great promotion. What a great promotion. And the one game, well, I was able to go to three games this year, but the one game I went to that the opposing team was Minnesota, missed and got Slim Chickens. We tried to go and it was so late and the line was so long, they stopped serving and they're like, we'll serve more tomorrow. I was like, well, that didn't help us. So, but we tried, but it was, if you know where Slim Chickens is, it was wrapped clear around the Walmart parking lot, the line that night.
Jeez.
Yeah. People wanted their chicken sandwiches, so, which I've never had it. I'm going to have to give it
a try. There's one not far from my house. So I need to go down and check it.
Yeah. Cause it's gotta be good. I mean, it's gotta be good. So, but no, it was a blast of a season, by far the most enjoyable season I've ever had a Purdue fan. It's right up there for me. Just from fandom overall, it's right up there with the Broncos Super Bowl 50 year for me. Actually, I probably even enjoyed this one more than that, even though that was all through Super Bowl. Cause Purdue was Purdue's the reason I even like the Broncos, because of Kyle. Right. Well, story for a podcast for another day.
It's at my house.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
This is right then and there. It happened. I saw it.
Yeah, it was such a blast. And I am so glad you remind me, like, searching, like, just take time to enjoy game by game. And I really did that. And it made it so much more enjoyable because I didn't get my sights set too far ahead until literally the tournament started. It's like, okay, it's go time. Go win this thing. So,
It's crazy because, sometimes, like, I feel like, you know, like 2019 was kind of a surprise. I mean, probably because I don't remember 2000 with the Elite Eight run, but it was, you know, Purdue was good, but they weren't like, you know, dominant. I mean, they were a three seed, so obviously they were still pretty good, but like, this just felt like, you know, Purdue was good, you know, all top three all year long, you know, never really wavered, you know, like with that 2019 team, you know, they started off 6-5 and then kind of got hot. But like this team just, you know, obviously had a couple hiccups here and there, against good teams. But you know, they were down all year long. I mean, to the point where this is actually now Purdue's first non-conference Power Five loss since Miami in 2020. With using to UConn, it was the first time Purdue's lost to a Power Six, I guess. Power Six.
I totally forgot about that Miami game. That was awful.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad. And just really, like, crazy. Just like, and, like, looking back on like Zach's career, it's like, I watched videos of like his like first basket, you know, in that whatever tournament we were at, and when no one could go to games
because it
was COVID still. And like, I mean, a crazy career of like, obviously he, you know, final national championship run, final four run, you know, Sweet 16 run, but also at the same time, you know, lost to a 13 seed his freshman year. Lost to his 13 or 15 seed in the Sweet 16, which people forget. His sophomore year, obviously junior year, was the 16 seed, but they will top it off by, you know, making the run of a lifetime.
Yeah,
sans one game, but just an incredible career.
Yep, incredible career. Glad we got to cover it on the Boiler Breakdown the last 4 years, and glad we got to cover this season. Pretty much game by game.
Yeah, I actually want to go back and listen to like maybe like the podcast after his first game and just kind of see like what were we saying.
They're up there. They're up there in the audio world and in YouTube world and in Facebook and X and everywhere. So they're up there. So yeah, might have to do that. So But I want to give a shout out to our sponsors for the year, Mad Mushroom and The Shop. Let me tell you a little bit about Mad Mushroom right now. They've been serving Boilermakers since 1993, located in the heart of West Lafayette, known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Andrew, Evan, or myself visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which for April, it is the loaded baked potato pizza. Garlic mashed potatoes topped with bacon, cheddar, and mozzarella cheeses, and finished with chives, served with a side of sour cream, starting at $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20, or any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom, feed your head. And like I said, can't thank them enough for being a sponsor yet again for the season of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. And Evan, you rep Sharp Apparel every single week on the pod, and every single week that apparel is from The Shop.
Absolutely. Loved having The Shop on for yet again another season. Hopefully they're back. Hopefully they're back with us again next year. We love having them. They've been making Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started out, you know, in their garage. Now they've got three locations in Indy. Actually, they're having kind of a official launch of their new downtown location in a couple weeks, starting in May, which is their busiest season with the 500 coming up. But you got three retail locations, one downtown Indy, one in Broad Ripple, one in Carmel. You know, whether you're Purdue, Pacer, Indiana, Butler, DePauw, Wabash, Indiana State, you know, NIT runner-ups, you know, they've got something for you. All things Indiana all the time. But if you can't make it, you can go to theshopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, and get 25% off your first order.
Yes. And I've ordered a good amount from The Shop this year, and I want to order more. Yep. Might have to do that during the off season for sure. Yep. For sure. Got a comment here. Let me pull it up on Facebook. Thad Mooney said, best part of the year, getting back to a live game for the first time in 7 years, and finally getting to take my wife to her first Purdue game. Just happened. That game was the Natty.
Dang. Hard to top that.
Yeah, it's very hard to top that. Very hard to top that. Awesome. Yeah. I remember a couple years ago, my wife's first game was Jaden Ivey's buzzer beater at home against Ohio State. And I had to look at her and tell her, this doesn't happen very often, just to let you know. So, yeah, she is undefeated at Purdue basketball games, all by single digits, every single one. So, if Stephanie's going to the game, good chance Purdue gets to win. It's gonna be a tight one. Yep. Well, I laughed because she got her nails done before the tournament started, right? And and Purdue nails. Having good luck, got through the lead eight. Well, she started a new job this past Monday, and one of her nails chipped late last week. She's like, I got to get my nails done before I start work Monday. So I tried to talk her into waiting till Sunday, at least past the NC State game before the national championship game, but couldn't even do that. She got them done. I don't remember, it was Friday or Saturday morning. And I'm like, if we lose NC State, it's your fault.
Yeah.
But we won. So now I can't blame the nails because they actually won that game and then lost the national championship, but.
Just the last thing, did you have any like weird superstition? I know they don't matter, but yeah. Did you have any like superstitions or like things you did like every game?
Not every game, but every NCAA tournament game, I wore my Purdue hockey jersey. And it had been up until the championship game, it was 8-0. I wore it at all three games. I went to Mackey and then all five NCAA tournament games and then lost that championship game. That was my only superstition though, but like I would try, if we were on a nice win streak, I would try to usually wear the same shirt or jersey or whatever I was wearing. But other than that, nothing too crazy. I didn't have to sit in the same spot on the couch or anything like that, or eat the same snack or anything, or drink the same drink. I know people who do very, very crazy things, and shout out to them, because that's just part of being a sports fan.
It's funny because I fully admit like these things don't matter, which is like I'll talk myself into it. Like, does it matter? Like, am I putting bad vibes into the universe? Like, am I doing things wrong? But I know that those don't matter, but I still especially when it was like we had like a Friday, Sunday game or whatever. After the first game, I had a beer during the first game and Purdue kind of went on a little run. And I had a second beer and they went another run. I was like, okay. So then the game, I had two beers then too. And then I had two beers every game. Didn't work out against the national championship game. Then I would also like swap like
I have two pairs of Purdue socks, and if I would wear one like on Friday or whatever, that would wear the other pair on Sunday and would wash them, do the next thing the next day. I was worried though for that. I will say the because when I was watching, it was always like on a weekend, I was usually wearing sweatpants, and the first game I didn't wear sweatpants was the Elite game that was there, and I was like, if we lose, because I'm not wearing sweatpants this game, so I was a little nervous, but then I realized it wasn't the issue.
Thad here on Facebook said he told his wife she was lucky. His first game was Brees against Kent State as a comparison. Hey, still got to see Drew Brees, though. Shout out to Drew Brees for being at the Final Four championship game and wearing a Mason Gillis jersey. Really, awesome. Really cool. Yeah. And Thad also said the Shop Play Hard shirt, 5-0 Final Four shirt, warranted title game.
What are we doing?
Damn it, Thad. No, I'm sure a lot of people were like, my Final Four shirt just arrived yesterday.
I haven't bought it yet. I was going to wait. I wanted to wait and see. Also, just waiting on some funds to clear. But
I get you.
I was going to get a hat for this backdrop.
Oh, my hat's been back ordered. Still hadn't arrived.
I want to get a hat for my office just to put on my desk in my office.
And then I love the look of the hat. For here.
Yeah. Then, yeah, get a couple shirts, one from the NIL store, one from the actual, like, net-worthy one that everybody has. But one,
yep. Except they gave me the wrong size. But it's all right. It fits. It's just a little longer, and I like my T-shirts. But... yeah, get the wrong size. I waited that week and a half of that, get the wrong size. Whatever. So, yeah. So
we'll be back for sure at some point. I'm not sure. We'll take probably a little break as things kind of slow down. Hopefully slow down. We'll see if anything big pops up between now and obviously we have the spring football game this Saturday. Can be honest, I have not paid a lick of attention to football these last like four weeks as basketball kind of got into postseason. But looking forward to that. To information come out of that camp that I'm sure we'll try and do some stuff over the summer as we try maybe get some interviews or have some trivia and all that fun stuff.
Definitely we're gonna take a break, but we won't be strangers for too long. We'll pop up here and there, and like Evan said, we'll do some trivia or some interviews, some fun things, some updates if anything crazy happens. Thad here said my hat bill's being formed right now. My hat's bill is being formed right now as my 3-year-old got to wear it before me. Breaking it in. But thanks again to everybody that helped make this our most successful year podcasting. It's been a blast, both for football and basketball. Hopefully football season will be better for us next year. As we're talking about, hopefully basketball season's better in the sense that we win the national title. But no, it's been a blast to chop it up with you guys. We really got some loyal listeners and viewers and followers on social media, and can't thank everybody enough. Please, like I said, give us a like, follow, subscribe if you haven't already. Boiler Break Pod on all social media platforms. And if you're listening on your favorite audio podcast platform, please give us a follow and subscribe, and also a rating and review. Really appreciate it. And if you want to follow us three on our personal accounts, you can do that as well. My handle's at TannerLee92. Evans is at ET_web, and Andrews is at AEiler3. I don't think any of us do tons of tweeting, but some retweeting and tweeting about. I know Evan tweets about music sometimes, or retweets about music sometimes, and I'm mostly Broncos, Purdue, and pro wrestling. So that's your thing. You can follow me, and Andrew's pretty much Reds, Butler, and Purdue. So
a lot of Reds. Side note: I know Tanner's is up your alley. I saw a tweet. Adam Shank will be at the Masters, perform Purdue golfer, tee times at 12:36 on Thursday and 9:24 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah, I was following his round a little bit today. I don't know where he ended up. He was one over at one point. But there were some guys who went in there with some low scores today. Guys that got to finish around. Some of them have to finish tomorrow morning. So, yeah. So shout out to Adam. He's a good dude. I've seen him play in person and yelled boiler up at him, and he thanked me for coming to the tournament. So I'm very, very nice guy. So, with that said, everybody, thanks again one last time. And as always, boiler up, hammer down.
Boiler up.